And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Joining us right now is Congressman Jim Himes, representing the 4th Congressional District, which likely includes the town where you live. Good morning. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. All good things. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the show today. Hello.
Good morning, Lisa. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thanks. Was it a good holiday for you? What'd you do?
It was. It was quiet. Nothing fancy. Just hung out with the family and caught up a little bit, caught my breath, really relaxed, was marveling at whatever it was, the 65-degree weather.
Unbelievable, right? From 18 to 65. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Insane. I know. Really crazy. So I asked you to come on today. I always want to talk to you. But last night we were watching CNN, and I was sort of watching it from the corner of my eye because, to tell you the truth, Congressman, I haven't been paying that much attention to what's going on in D.C. And I saw that there's no Speaker of the House yet, even though I believe things are convening today at noon. And the people that are pulling Kevin McCarthy into a direction are the most radical wing of the Republican Party, when he has already kowtowed to all the Trumpites, and many call him the most craven would-be Speaker of the House that ever existed. So can you tell us what's going on?
Well, so, and I agree with you, you know, one of the crazy things about the last couple of years is that, like, politics, which ordinarily you talk about every once in a while, maybe you think about Washington once every 2 weeks, right? All of us were 24/7. It was absolutely lovely to sort of, you know, not think about politics for a little while. But here we are, and you asked the question, and you know, as the Congress does every 2 years, there is no Congress right now until noon today.
Right.
None of us are actually members of Congress. We're members-elect. And at noon, there will be a quorum call, and immediately thereafter, there will be an election to elect the Speaker of the House. Now, here's where it gets super interesting.
Okay.
Whatever you think of Kevin McCarthy, he has a 222-vote majority, 218 votes for the majority in the House, right? So he's basically got three or four, maybe five votes that he can lose, or he no longer has his majority. And I think, you know, nobody really knows what's going to happen. It's been since the 1920s that a Speaker wasn't elected on the first ballot. And I will tell you that all indications are that Kevin McCarthy is not elected Speaker on the first ballot, which means that we need to continue in the afternoon to take these votes. And what makes it interesting, Lisa, is the people concerned. You know, you and I come from a sort of group of people that would negotiate. We'd say, look, we want this, and in exchange for this, you'll get my vote.
Yes.
We're talking about, and I'm not going to characterize these folks, but, I mean, you know, people watch them on TV. We're talking about Lauren Boebert and
You know, she – and you know what? and Lauren Boebert, okay, she didn't exactly come in with a mandate from her own district. You know, you would think – this is the thing for me. You would think that an average human being – would take the temperature of their own electorate if they had a close race and realize that there's a message there to move back from their extreme position, whatever it is, whether it's the left or the right. If you've got a close race, somebody is sending you a message. Instead, these people double down. It's extraordinary to me.
And what they want, and again, maybe I eat my words because we're going to know in the next 2-3 hours what actually happens. But, you know, the more... I'm trying to be as, you know, we haven't started this Congress yet, so I'm trying to be as calm and unaccusatory as I can. But there's a bunch of people who are going to get really famous because they're going to prevent Kevin McCarthy from becoming Speaker. And I don't know how long that lasts. But it does point to something super interesting. And let me take you back 2 years ago, Lisa. I was on January 5th, 2021, the day before the assault on the Capitol. There were rallies around D.C., and I was sort of interested in this, right? I've always sort of tried to understand what is the energy behind MAGA America. And so I put on a pair of sweatpants and a hoodie, and I went downtown into D.C., and I stood at one of these rallies, and I watched it. And here's the interesting thing. I was nervous because I'm a Democrat, as you know, but you know what? The rage there was not so much at Democrats. I mean, they didn't like us at all. The rage was against the quote-unquote establishment Republicans. You had these speeches where the personification of evil was the establishment Republicans, and that's what you're going to see out play out today because, you know, there's 20 of these folks. They live in this caucus called the Freedom Caucus who, more than anything else, have grievances against quote-unquote establishment Republicans. And This, of course, comes out of the legacy of Donald Trump because he was anything but an establishment Republican. So anyway, no one really knows what's about to happen. I think for the first time in 100 years, we're not going to have a speaker on the first ballot. And then after that, it's anyone's guess. But it's going to be, if you like watching politics, it's going to be darn interesting this afternoon.
Well, let me ask you this, Congressman Jim Himes. In a world in which there is such a narrow margin of victory, is there ever a possibility that somebody emerges from the Democrat Party that could lead Republicans and Democrats? Because it doesn't have to be a party line vote. It just has to be a majority of who's elected.
That's right. And by the way, the speaker need not be a member of the House. And so,
really?
No, there's no requirement that the speaker be a member of the House. So,
what would the speaker be if not a member of the House?
Well, some of the Trumpier folks around here were proposing that Trump be elected Speaker of the House, and people talk. You know, I've heard votes in over the various Congresses for people like Colin Powell to be Speaker. So there's no rule that says that it has to be a member of the House. What I would tell you to answer your really interesting question, you know, in moments like this when you have a very narrow majority, you ask yourself, my goodness, could Democrats and Republicans come together to elect a consensus candidate?
Right.
And I will tell you that I think that's very unlikely. Unless, I was talking to some friends about this last night, I mean, let's just imagine that days go by and there's no House of Representatives, there's no Congress because you've got this gridlock. If days go by and people start worrying about whether the United States has a government or not, a legislature, if there's total chaos, you know, crazy ideas become a little less crazy. And the way I think that would have to happen, and I will tell you right now, I don't think it's going to happen, but if you could get, you know, 120 Republicans and 120 Democrats, that's 240, that's a solid majority, you would isolate the extremes of both parties.
You would.
And you'd have 240 people who
that's
say,
right,
let's actually have a legislature.
You'd
and we'll
be in
elect
that.
A consensus candidate.
Yeah.
And the reason I say it would have to be a lot of people is because, you know, six Democrats are joining the Republicans or six Republicans joining the Democrats. You're pretty lonely if you're in that smaller group.
I see.
But the truth is we're talking about things that probably don't become relevant unless we really are chaotic for a period of days.
Well, on the other hand, if it is just a group of Democrats who go ahead and vote for McCarthy, they could have enormous power. Didn't McCarthy say that he was willing to essentially allow this extremist bloc to diselect him if he did anything that they didn't like? I mean,
so he's caved to all of their demands.
Right?
And, you know, one of the things they wanted, and this is why John Boehner didn't last as Speaker and why Paul Ryan lasted just very briefly as Speaker, was that one of the things that the Freedom Caucus wants is they want what's known as a motion to vacate the chair. And that means that any individual member can come into the floor of the House of Representatives on any day and say, I want to vote on retaining the Speaker. And at a minimum, that, you know, creates chaos. It takes an hour and blah, 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 and all sorts of crazy things happen. And when the Democrats took control 4 years ago, they did away with that rule. And they made it so that it would have to be a member of the party leadership, which would call to vacate the chair. Kevin has given that back. And so, you know, they now have a, you know, sort of a tool of mass destruction, you know, that they can use to keep him in line if he becomes Speaker. So, you know, let me say this. I haven't worked a lot with Kevin McCarthy. We just don't cross paths that. In the few episodes in which I have, I found him to be very civil. He does have a reputation for trying to be all things to all people. And you know, I don't mean that as, you know, there's an awful lot of politicians you could say that about. But you know, this is a moment where I think that being all things to all people has really come back to haunt him, because people are saying, wait a minute, does this guy have the brass to stand up to his most volatile members? And a lot of people have concerns about that.
I have a little saying on a coaster near me, which says, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
Right.
But we're chatting with Congressman Jim Himes. So someone like Kevin McCarthy has options. I mean, he doesn't have to go to the extreme wing of his own party. He could do something truly statesmanlike and try and go to some of the blue dog Democrats in America. He could try and go to some of the Joe Manchins among the House of Representatives that are Democrats.
Yeah. And it could come to that. Now, in a two-party system, he pays a cost for that, right? So if you're a Republican and you say, holy smokes, our leader only got to be leader because he went to Democrats, there's a cost to that. And by the way, there's a cost to the Democrats who do that. You know, and it's sad. You're right. I mean, you know, you look at European countries that put together coalitions like that, you know, oftentimes,
all the time,
you know, like Israel today, that's a classic example. But Israel, Italy, you know, there are other governments where you put together coalitions. It's not something that we've traditionally done. And so it would come with a cost to the people who participated in that. But, yeah, it would be sort of a West Wing moment, right, if Democrats and Republicans could come together.
And did you watch at all of the marathon? Because we did over the weekend. Did you watch it?
The West Wing? No, I did not. I did not. Like
on,
I said, I was trying to stay away from politics.
Yeah, but what do they say? The West Wing is like political porn or something. You know, in other words, it's just it's so idealistically beautiful to watch that you bury yourself in a woulda, coulda, shoulda moment, and you just enjoy it for what it is. You know,
here's
Aaron
an interesting
Sorkin's
thing,
vision.
Lisa, for you to think about, and your listeners to think about. People will have very different opinions of Nancy Pelosi, right? She's, you know, polarizing figure. Democrats loved her, Republicans hated her. Let's set that aside for a moment, whether you like her or you hate her. She faced exactly this 2 years ago, exactly this. She had a majority of 222, and the Republicans had what we have today, 217 or 200, whatever it is, 216, 215, whatever it was. But my point is that what Kevin McCarthy faces today is precisely what Nancy Pelosi faced 2 years ago. And boy, she made it look easy. And again, I'm not trying to butter her up or anything. I'm just saying, like, you don't remember this craziness.
No.
She had exactly the situation, and man, she made it look easy.
Well,
so
you would know, Congressman Himes, did she make private deals with the ultra-left extreme wing of her party in order to get elected?
You know, no. You know, so what would the ultra-left have wanted? They would have wanted a vote on single-payer health care. They would have wanted a vote on the Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave them neither of those two things over the 2 years. I think it was more – her problem was more the right wing of the Democratic Party. There's always been four or five members from Republican districts who have voted against her. And I think her magic was figuring out how to get them to support her. And that's Kevin McCarthy's problem. He hasn't figured out how to get his far right wing to support him. But it's just an interesting thought experiment because it's precisely the same situation by the numbers that Pelosi faced 2 years ago.
Well, I would say that you can't put Kevin McCarthy in the same room or category as – Nancy Pelosi. I'm sorry.
Well, we'll know in 2 hours.
No. Yeah, but no way. And by the way, Kevin McCarthy didn't have the class, let's just call it class, to attend the going away ceremony of Nancy Pelosi. I assume you were there. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. A little class.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got two parties. Both parties have divisions in them. And all I can tell you is that the divisions in the other party are more ferocious than they are in my party. I mean, I was reading some of the letters of the editor that were the Republicans in the town of Greenwich, Connecticut, where I live, attacking each other brutally. I mean, just
really?
Brutally, right? And I mean, I won't go into who is involved, but the incredible warfare between the old establishment wing of the Republican Party and the MAGA Trump wing is just incredible. And that's what McCarthy's trying to manage right now.
Congressman Jim Himes, thank you so much for coming on. We will be looking on with a little bit of awe and terror. And hopefully – and by the way, this is just a silly question, I guess, but if they don't elect a Speaker of the House, why does that mean the House of Representatives cannot convene?
You know, it's a funny thing, right? I mean, there are no rules in the Constitution for what happens if you don't elect a speaker.
Right.
And so we're on untested ground here.
You're
now, this has happened again. I mentioned 100 years ago, 1923, there were multiple ballots, and you go even earlier than that in the 1800s. There was lots of chaos, but you know, eventually somebody gets elected.
Okay.
Certainly, that's what's always happened in our history. But like I said, unless Kevin can pull off a miracle and win in the first ballot, we're in territory that we haven't been in a century in this country.
And you haven't thrown your hat in the ring yet yourself, Congressman Hines? I'm waiting.
Oh, my God. You know,
could
Lisa,
happen.
As much as I feel enormously privileged to have the job of representing the people of the 4th District, the idea of having to lead my colleagues, I'm not sure there's enough money in the world.
Well, someone's going to have to step up and do it. Why not you?
No, well, let's just start right now. The Republicans have the majority, so right now they're going to need to try to find a speaker from their party, not from mine.
Okay, but I'm putting a thought in your head that might have been there already. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, it's great talking with you, and if it gets really crazy, happy to come back on and try
Thank
to explain
you.
What's going on.
I appreciate that very much. Congressman Jim Himes from our 4th Congressional District on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.